Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day fiance.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
Welcome back to the tell-all of 90 Day Fiancé.
Hey, what's up?
Hi,
hey, what's up?
I'm not supposed to talk yet till I introduce you. I'm
what's
Sean Robinson.
I don't follow rules.
I'm Sean Robinson, and we have a special guest here, everybody. We have, especially if you're watching the Reality Gaze Intimate Portrait on your screen.
What's up?
Everybody, Chris is here, or someone in that wig.
What's up?
I want to say, hi, Chris.
You like my style change?
Producers told us they didn't want you to come, but you kept texting them saying, I'm outside.
Yeah.
How did you find the address?
You can find anything on the internet. And I just want to say, I got my new single come out. You can find me on Spotify, iTunes,
okay, but
Plug and Play,
my
name is Baby Gambler.
Okay. What's the name of your single, Chris? Not that I want to know.
Arithmetic is hard.
Okay. Well, thank you. Did you want to talk anything about, you know,
what's
the cheating?
Up, pro yo?
Okay. Anything about Kara or Guillermo? Like, why
do you like my look? It's kind of like Orthodox John Lennon. That's what I was going for. That's a Jew, right?
Stop it!
All right, we've gone off. We've gone off the rails.
You broke me!
We've gone off the rails.
You look so ridiculous in that wig. Here, give me my glasses so I don't forget. Y'all, this is reality gaze.
This is reality gaze.
This is reality gaze.
Wow.
When
he came out, I was like, it's like almost like Statler Brothers meets the movie with Melanie Griffith when she's Amish.
With Harrison Ford?
Yes.
That was a good movie. What was that movie with Harrison?
People are screaming.
What? It's called
one word.
Finding Henry.
No, that's Regarding Henry.
Same thing.
No, it's one word. It's like mission or vision.
Henry. Just
no,
Henry.
No, it's witness.
Be a witness for my Lord.
No, we don't have time to do.
Be a witness for my Lord.
We cannot do choir music.
Okay.
In
Bethlehem, they made a pact. They said that Jesus gonna have your back.
It's always the bass parts. This is part two of
our part two. It's always confusing. It's our part two of part one of the actual tell-all because we're sissy, fanciful gay men that talk for 2.5 hours about a hour and a half show.
But the tell-all, their part one, otherwise known as the He-Man Woman Haters Club.
Yeah, the He-Man 90-Day Fiancé Cage Match or Boys Club.
Misogyny 101.
Woo! But
I had a hard... I really... The more I think about it, I had a hard time with the way everyone came for the women.
I agree.
I
will say, when Chris does come out... We're going to talk about it, but just that's where even the cast members were going, what am I doing here? Like,
such a stunt. They had to go all the way back in her past to someone she had dated high school.
That is
her high school boyfriend.
That is just an overall arching thing that I want to talk about. Why are we talking about, even though I don't like Shahida and I think she's a very bitter person, why are we talking about her and Bilal's relationship when she wasn't on the show with him?
I agree. It's why. Well, I know why we're talking about it, because it's for a pattern. To see a pattern that Shahida...
I mean, she agreed to be there, so I don't feel... She's horrible, so I don't have any sympathy for her.
Oh!
But she's... she's so gross. Now, you see that her...
Between him and his mother...
And that they're all perfect for her, and Shahida needs to run.
The thing about it is, and I want to say this one thing, Shahida looks like a shell of her former self.
Boy.
I feel like that's what a year with Bilal will do to you.
That hit me in the stomach when you said that. Because think about when we saw her, how vibrant and just lively and just kind of hopeful she was.
Her eyes are dull.
This is what happens when you prank someone too much.
I still say it was a missed opportunity on his part.
Should have done the three.
Not to have
box of just killer bees.
Or like a rabid wolverine in a box.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have liked
Cobra,
it for Shida.
Baby Cobra.
Baby Cobra.
That would have been great.
Baby Cobra. I do want to just say, we make fun of all these things, but I think Shida, yes, she chose what she is, but you can just tell she's not even there anymore. There's just...
No.
It makes me very sad.
She does know what she's getting into.
Yeah.
But then I say that, and I feel bad.
I still feel for her, though.
Am I not understanding? She doesn't know what she's gotten into, but she already moved to another country and gave up everything. So does she feel like she can't? She said she would have gone back.
No, she's stuck.
Does she feel stuck?
She is the definition of stuck. Bilal was smart to find someone overseas who has no one in his country.
I thought the definition of stuck is when you called me because you couldn't get that watermelon out.
That was a rough time. And it was a small one.
Well, but your hands were
more of a gourd.
Couldn't get onto it because you had too much lube on your hands and your legs were tied in the
occupational
air.
Hazard.
Boy, y'all, when you get a call from Poodle at 2 a.m. says, I'm in my bedroom, don't ask, I need help. I just put on a blindfold and I have a vomit tub and I just do what needs to be done.
Put on a gas mask. So,
Poodle, I told you, no fruit or nightshade vegetables.
I'm done with nightshades. So, we did a little bit talking about some announcements. Our live tour tickets are going on sale, pre-sale for our Patreon and Supercast members Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Mm-hmm. It is the Double It Tour. And about 6-7 cities, you will get those cities that morning. And what we're going to do is send you, if you're on Patreon, you'll get a little email with the code in it a couple minutes before the presale. Do not ask us where it is.
No.
Trust your Patreon mail, y'all. Trust your Patreon mail.
Yes.
I still have blonde hair, synthetic.
Oh, we need to let Jackie know that's happening. Because last time she said, you didn't tell me.
We do.
So, so if you're in the Facebook group, there's going to be a post about it.
Yep.
If you have questions about, in the Sissy Squad, if you have questions about, and I would even say this on the Instagram, maybe other people, if you post something, people will answer.
Yeah.
I think that's a great, instead of messaging us directly on Instagram.
We can have a post.
On our Instagram post, if you go and you can't see a link, put a comment on the Instagram. Then other people can see it, maybe respond. And also, we can keep track of that much better than getting 200 Instagram messages on one day.
Yep. And we can also
we should have said that before.
Pin a post in the Facebook group.
And
the
you
Sissy
can
Squad,
use that.
And you can use that to ask questions.
Twitter, you're on your own.
Yeah.
Elon Musk is buying you one day that
Twitter's,
he's not.
Twitter's a fucking cesspool, y'all. It's a cesspool.
You're just on your own.
Yeah. And if you're on Supercast, you'll look for a 5-minute little tiny podcast that morning giving you the pre-sale code. If you're not on Patreon or Supercast, you are going to be on the general sale, which is Friday at 10 a.m. But you will see all of the tour dates out there for you.
You will. That's
so
it.
We're very excited. We're already talking about things. Maybe guests, perhaps.
We'll see what we can do or what's allowed.
But we're very excited.
We are. Also, I'll be at the Hollywood Improv on Thursday, August 18th here in Los Angeles. There's a link to that. Get your tickets now.
Bring extra money for chicken fingers.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And Poodle's going to be at his mother's. So, y'all, get ready.
I'll be doing cameos for my mother's
There's going to be another bunker show because you're probably going to have to go to your brother's
probably.
Where he has internet.
Probably.
Because your mother is not... How did she feel last time when you had to leave her house because her internet wasn't good enough to go to your brother's?
It was so bad.
Did she take offense to it,
though?
Oh,
yes. Yes. I don't know what to do. I did everything I could. You told me to get this, and I yes. I don't know what... I don't know how to find the password. It seems like it changes. And y'all, I told the story when she did call Spectrum or whatever it was, or Time Warner or whatever the fuck they have. And she's like, I'm telling you, I've called, and this woman just told me I was an idiot, basically. And she was, and it was the same Indian woman.
It wasn't the same woman.
It wasn't.
No.
It wasn't.
No.
And I said, there's a billion people there. I severely doubt it was the same woman. She's laughing at me.
I think that's it. Let's jump into this.
Karen Guillermo, let's jump up. So she's pregnant, you guys. She looks great, I must say.
She does look great.
And you can tell she's not gained a little bit of weight, but I will say it softens her face a little bit more. And I love the way pregnancy looks on her. She looked great.
She's got the glow.
Yeah.
All of it.
And y'all, we talk a little bit about laptop games.
Let's talk about,
And remember, it was one of the bitchiest things that she said to him. He's like, I want a laptop. She's like, why don't we start easier, like a toothbrush?
It does. It is funny because Kara's like, yeah, I just said the toothbrush would be easier. And then in the corner, we hear, oh my God.
Yeah. I wrote down,
oh my God. The moment when he would say it, y'all, was just so fucking funny. And so Kara says something, and she says, I understand where Kara's coming from. It sounds very judgmental, but I do understand. She says, sometimes he says things, and I wonder if he thinks about what he's going to say before he comes out of his mouth. I think...
he is young.
He is young, also, too. I don't want to say this as an excuse, but a lot of straight men don't have to think about what comes out of their mouth
never.
As much.
Whereas never.
Women, but we people of color, minorities, we are always thinking about what we say.
Yeah. LGBT people, you always need to figure out how
am
safe
I gonna,
am I?
Am I going to say this? Am I? Kara's always thinking, all these women, maybe not Ari.
No,
maybe
she
not
does.
Emily. Maybe not Emily, but
not Emily.
Most of these women are thinking, am I going to sound those words we put on women, crazy? Am I going to sound like a bitch? Am I going to sound like a nag? All these, think about these terms that we put
and
on, am
weirdly,
I going to sound needy?
Weirdly,
words Kara, only attached
Kara
to women.
Kara really doesn't give a fuck.
Kara doesn't give a fuck.
And that is why a lot of people don't like her.
Yeah.
And they think Kara's a bitch.
I think she is a woman with boundaries.
I can honestly say,
I like her.
By the end of the tell-all, I think she's reasonable. And what she said later on, she's like, when Patrick's claim about, oh, that's just like an American woman. And you know what Kara said? I have to find this because it's so good.
Yeah, quote it right. Don't fuck it up.
Thanks for, I appreciate your faith in
me. Way to just riveting. Wow, we're just here.
I think she said, because American women are she said something about we're fuck, I'm gonna mess it up. I'll get to it later.
She basically said that because American women, you'll think of it later, but basically
fuck.
That they're strong-willed.
Sorry, y'all, I've got pages and pages of notes here, and
lot.
I just don't know.
It's okay.
It's these tell-alls.
Hey,
I want to get something
you.
Right.
That's not what we do. Well, I don't know why you want to get things right now. Well, while that, I'll say Kobe is saying to her, Kobe says, but you admit that you treat him like a child. Again, I want to call this, I do think Kara does a little bit. I do think that's a bit of projection, though, on Kobe's
yeah.
part, because it really is like the men are taking up for the other men because they,
yes,
because they're seeing their own issues in that relationship. And Kara says, Kara responds, she's like, look, I know grown ass men that act like a child. Camera pans
right to gibberish.
That was a good
I
edit.
Went. Well done.
Well done. And so then Sean asked the question, well, who feels like they're the adult in the relationship? Jabri raises his hand, and I was like, put your hand down.
You know,
you are not even the adult of your own masturbatory fantasies.
You know what? While we were on break, someone sent me a message. They were watching the tell-all DM, and they're like, she's like, I know this because I'm bipolar. And she's like, Jabri feels like he's off meds or something.
It just, he's so...
Or because he was just so
like he was
much.
In a mania or
yeah,
something
and that's
like that.
Just like,
yeah.
It's like, that's what it, she's like, I'm not saying that's what she's like. And it may not be...
But that was her, that Sissy's experience who has a personal
yes.
experience said it felt
and she said,
familiar.
She said, and she's like, and the other, she's like, or she's like, and my husband has ADHD and when he goes off his meds, that's what it feels like.
So who knows?
But I'm just saying.
I think that's a good point. I don't want to excuse it away.
I don't either want to.
But I feel like
it was
just
so out there.
But I think that there's something to be said that Jabri talks about how he always starts things and how he doesn't finish it, and that could be. I think there could be some truth in that.
Yeah. I just wanted to bring that up because
there's some truthiness in
it's
that.
It's not the first time, even in watching the season, I said, there may be an issue there.
There's something going yeah. on. He's still a narcissist.
No, that
jerk.
Doesn't excuse anything. He's a piece of shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that's where we get a little bit of Bilal and Shida and
I found it.
Okay.
Patrick said they were talking about the adults and blah blah blah. And Patrick said, see, it's very American women who want to control things. And Kara says, yeah, American women are strong-willed, motivated, and direct.
They are, yeah.
And that is everything that a lot of men think
well,
they are.
What he didn't get, she was saying that because you didn't want that type of woman because you sought out something
And so
different.
He basically traveled around South America trying to find a woman who wasn't like an American woman. Submissive.
So we get a little bit of Bilal and Shida where they're kind of talking about where he said, well, I don't think I treated her as a child. And Shida said, well, you say I'm very naive. And Bilal brings up a point that we didn't know that she's lived with her family forever.
She didn't know how to pay bills.
Well, I'm saying that because that comes back in a really gross way that she doesn't own her own home. She's never paid bills. So he said that, and it's funny because Shida tries to grab his mouth, and she's like, no, you don't have to say that on television. That was off-putting to me.
It
does do weird things like that.
It didn't bother me as much, but I think she's trying to... Shame is very much a presence in Shida's life,
yeah.
And shame for her, and she's afraid someone's going to think she's stupid or inexperienced. And that's something she can't handle, and because that attacks the core of who she is. Because she seems to she wants to portray herself as successful, and but the point is, sadly, Bilal knows that and uses it as a weapon against her.
Yes,
every single yeah, time. That's why she doesn't like to be lectured.
Yes, but I do think that Tim and Kenny are later talk. They disagree about Bilal and Shida. I do see what Tim is talking about where Shida does seem – I like Shida. I will say I think she does seem immature for her age.
For 37.
Yes, very much. She doesn't – I forget. I think she sometimes acts like she's 27.
Agree.
And this
or even younger.
idea that there's this, like we talked about, she came over here that had this like almost like Disney fantasy and everything would work out. We'll talk about them more, but it's just in this moment with her saying, you don't have to say that. It's like, no, if you want the truth and if you want Bilal to see himself right on this tell-all, then you need to see yourself too.
Agree. I mean, there was, we go back to Laptop Gate a little bit, and Kara's like, so after, when you did get your laptop, Guillermo, how many times have you opened it? And then Emily said, yeah, this one got a laptop. Emily is ready to
Emily's
sell.
Like,
Emily's
yeah
like, this one got a laptop. He's opened it 10 times. And they're like, Guillermo, how many times have you opened? He's like, a lot. And Kara's like, really? He's no, not that many times.
It was comedy gold. Because he goes, how many? And this is what Guillermo does. He almost, there's almost like this.
He's too pure for this world.
He's sitting there kind of calmly with his legs crossed. He kind of gives this old man energy in a weird way, even though he's a man child.
No, I agree.
And he just kind of says, many, many times. And Kara said, really?
Really?
I only, and he said, not twice.
Yeah.
Like, it was so, why can't be on Happily Ever
and
After?
This was the best statement when Patrick was like, you just give him something. And then, this is, Kara said, what should I tell him? Guillermo, I really feel like right now, it's not really a good time. And she was being so patronizing.
She was being patronizing, sarcastic.
And Patrick's like, yeah, that'd be really nice.
And I went,
yes, you.
I was like,
Kara, you just reduced him to ashes, and he's not aware of it.
I'm like, the fact that you, it.
I'm Team Kara now. I'm officially in her camp.
Oh,
it's official.
I'm in between.
Kara,
but I'm Team Kara and Guillermo, honestly.
Yeah.
Oh, but I mean, yeah, because you really, I was on the laptop gate. I was more Team Kara. You were very much like, give Guillermo something
of his
own. I said,
maybe not a laptop. I said, I understand where he's coming from.
And I do think that this, her saying a toothbrush, that does seem condescending.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't disagree when Patrick says you were trying to shut him down as fast as you can. But it's interesting. They weren't even talking. They never said this. They weren't actually talking. This wasn't about, not to sound too therapizey, but they weren't talking about the laptop.
Right.
It was that Guillermo just wanted to be heard, and Kara, and then even Kobe, bless his heart, because Patrick said, maybe it's just your tone. And then Kobe says, Kobe said, yes, it's just your tone. And Emily goes, yeah, I talked to me about that too.
Your tone is the worst. She is out to demean him with her tone. That is what she's out to do.
So not to be too man defending, but I do think that Kara's tone a little bit.
I agree.
Think it's sharp with him. But Emily, if they don't talk about on part two, fucking Emily and Kobe and that fight in that barn, I'm gonna be pissed off.
I do feel like all the men were going, blah, blah, this, we're bellyaching. I'm like, oh, you're all so fragile. You're all so fragile.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's just, should we get into Bilal and Shida?
Yes. Okay.
So, Sean basically says, so we've talked about that, Bilal, would you say you're a neat freak? He's like, yeah, I can. Now, it feels like Bilal has talked himself into this zen state.
Yes.
He will not be bothered.
He will not.
He is not going to let any of the haters raise his hackles one bit.
Nope.
And you can tell, y'all, he's answering questions very quietly and very...
Well, I mean, we'll talk about this. I think I've said, or you said before, Bilal would be a good politician.
He would
because
be.
Good politicians are usually salespeople.
And terrifying.
But they're good at that.
So they're talking about, and she's like, you were even just talking about how I was messy backstage. I'm like, he's like, you were putting your dirty hand on me. And he's like, I had a speck, I had a blah, blah, blah. And the thing is, you guys, we could think that they're bickering. Neither one of them are laughing.
No, the thing that I realized with this is the thing that what Bilal bitches about, for the most part, maybe like 70% of the time, there's a small, like you said, there's a small truth in it. But there's also the truth in what he's saying, but then he knows it's attached to some type of shame.
Yes, like, it's about humiliating her.
And the example of this is, Shida was dirty.
Yes.
He didn't someone dirt, which he needs to understand that, like, that is, that we know Shida, like, oh, she doesn't want to be seen
he
as
he fully
that.
Understands it.
But it's like he takes, but was he right in saying, hey, don't, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, hey, don't touch my face if you have chicken grease on your fingers. Like, nothing wrong. But it's, again, the way he goes about it. But then I will say Shida plays into this. She tries to touch his face, and he just says, she gets so, her shame, her own shame, it has, honestly, she came into this, I think, with a lot of shame.
Oh, yes.
It has nothing to do with him.
Agree.
It just helped me see the relationship. So he calls out something in her. She feels more shameful, even though he was probably right to say.
And wants to throw more dirt.
But then she throws more at him.
Yep.
And then it just becomes this cycle. There, it made me see even more. They are really not right for
one
another.
Awful. And so,
happily ever after. Be sure to check out for new seasons with Bilal and Shida, everybody.
Yikes. So, Sean said. So, and Shida says, they're talking about the prank. And they're also the keep your hands to yourself.
She
thing,
said, don't give me no lines and keep your hands to yourself.
I'm still, every time I watch that scene,
oh,
you can just see Bilal fuming. And
that's why I wrote at the end of this segment, he looks livid.
And
not livid, y'all, livid.
Just
you
bubbling.
Know you know why with, I'm livid.
And Shida says, when Bilal came to Trinidad, we treated him like royalty. We did everything we should. And
I expect the same treatment.
And Kobe did say, man, that was terrible. You're going to spend the rest of your life with her. That was shitty.
Kobe said what we all said.
Yeah.
And Sean said, well, what do you think this reaction said about her? And Bilal said, you know, I didn't think she would take it as far as she did.
I was like, who are you talking about
but
here?
But you took this so far.
Right.
And then Eve even says, it sounds like this was a test. And Bilal said, this is not a test. And I went, I wanted to say, roll the tape, Gary, because didn't he say?
Yes.
I thought
he said in the first, second
episode, this
it's
is
a little. It's a little bit of a test.
I think he said the fucking actual word test.
He did.
He said, it's not a test. It's words of confirmation.
Later. Ari basically says, Bilal, you're an answer for everything, and I think that's
suspicious.
I'm sorry,
if you're going to talk like Ari.
Sorry, Bilal, you're an answer for everything, and I think that's suspicious. Me too. Good point, Ari.
And, we had a little power flicker. We're still going strong.
My power did go off on Thursday. We are going through a heat wave in Los Angeles, so let's cross our fingers.
You know what? Just to make sure the camera's fine, we're going to stop for a commercial, and we'll be right back. Poodle, I got to tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No, see, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies, great new underwear, which makes my important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft, and the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope.
are still on. We're back. We're back. So Sean Robinson asked everyone. She says, so who thinks Shida was being too physical?
No one.
No one raises their hand. I didn't think she was being too physical, per se, but I think that she didn't get... That's the thing. They don't read each other's energy at all.
Well, and I think she doesn't... She's incapable of reading his because he's putting out an illusion of what his energy is.
And it even like on the tele, though, I wouldn't... My partner... I wouldn't physically grab my partner's face and try to cover their mouth on television.
I agree. It's not
that
good.
That makes me squirm. But no. So no one thinks, though... And Shida said, I think women test men to see what they get away with.
I was like, but don't give away your cards, honey.
No, but it wasn't that. Bilal's face, you could see
his face.
And he said, did you see? She said the word test. She said, and I went, oh my God, he's letting that part of himself show on national television. Y'all, like... This is all a game to him. Like,
oh, yeah.
That he just wants to win.
He, in his head, he will read messages as, I'm looking for a partner. That he is looking for someone to constantly be better than, to constantly humiliate, to shame.
Feel validated, he needs to put someone down.
Yes. He needs to hurt another person.
Yeah. By the way, you look old today. I meant to tell you. I feel good.
Bert Lahr looks better than you.
You feel
better
now.
Second reference. Bert Lahr has better grooming than you do.
And you feel better, don't you?
And I feel better. It's amazing how that works.
Oh, put them up.
Oh, put them up. Put them up. Put them up. Up. We straight men who listen, we are teaching you about classic stars of cinema.
It's true.
And straight women who are listening.
And television. Someone watched this earlier and said, I didn't even remember that Jerry Mathers was in fucking Leave It to Beaver.
The fags who listen are like, oh, they're doing Bert Lahr stuff. Perfect.
Perfect. Oh.
The lesbians are like, why am I listening?
And Bilal said, in hindsight, I should have said sorry. And that's where Guillermo says, I want to be like you when I grow up. And
The thing is, Guillermo's just wrong. There, I should have said I'm sorry. Later on, Sean basically says, Patrick's saying blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I want to talk about this in specific.
Go ahead.
I wrote it down because Patrick... I will say, he looked terrible in his tell-all, but I cheered having someone that could dissect Bilal's game better than we could, honestly.
Oh, I agree. You know why? Because Patrick's a salesman.
Yeah, and Patrick said,
he sells security systems, if you don't know.
He said, he's an amazing salesman. This is an amazing sales tactic. He said, honestly, I'm watching you in awe, Bilal. And Bilal's just sitting there.
What's interesting about this is Patrick... The security systems he's involved with have been accused of being an MLM.
Mm.
It is widely known as that, and there's a big idea about it. So the idea of MLMs...
You say MLM, and I just go M&M, and then I just want
multi-level
M&M.
Marketing.
I know, but then I just want M&Ms. My inner fat kid here is M&M. When you put them together, I don't care if you put MLM. I want an M&M now.
It's not too inner most days.
Love some peanut M&Ms. Have you had the new caramel ones? We need to move on.
I have not had the caramel.
They're not noobs. They're good.
You know what I don't enjoy? I still like the peanut M&Ms better than the peanut butter M&Ms.
I agree. I would rather, if I'm going to have peanut butter, I'd rather have a Reese's Pieces.
No, they're too sweet.
Oh, God. We need to move on.
I want a Reese's peanut butter cup, and I want to eat M&Ms, plain M&Ms, with it.
We've triggered people, so we need to move. Y'all, don't send us candy. We don't need it. But Patrick goes on to say, the thing with you, sorry, I got to get it all out because it was so good. He said, you never stop. You always know what to say. You even know how to drop your tone to get people engaged.
y'all. And that, and that's why sociopaths are some of the best
salesmen
around.
Ever. Jeffrey Dahmer will sell you a vacuum and then eat you.
I don't know if he was a sociopath. I don't think he was that kind of social sociopath.
Ty says, yep, that's what he does. You do that to me. And Patrick kind of says, yep. And Shida says, yeah, I feel like Bilal always has to win the conversation. And then Patrick, like a fucking professor, says, yeah, it's called overcoming objections. And I went, what the fuck?
It's MLM stuff.
He is
bringing out his MLM training to sell people. And showing and through using that to read Bilal for filth. And y'all, Bilal is just sitting there, not looking at Patrick, just looking straight ahead.
It is
boiling inside. And I want to say one other thing.
The takedown.
Oh, Sean says he's like, they asked. He said, "Okay, maybe I was wrong about that, but you did that." And Sean, in a very, very concise, which she rarely does, she lets them kind of do the stuff. Sean says, do you ever say, okay, I was wrong, and then not, but what about, and not what about after? And he went, okay, you're right, I was wrong. And she's like, Bilal, that's just passive aggressive. She called him out. I did not think she would do this with him.
I didn't think she would either.
And y'all, this was terrifying.
It was terrifying.
He just got really quiet and even more quiet.
Yeah.
Says, yeah, I'm fine. You're right, Shida.
I guarantee you, he punished Shida for this tell-all.
Oh, I can't even tell you.
For weeks.
Probably didn't speak to her afterwards.
I bet you he gave her the sign. Bilal is that person that gets angry and doesn't talk to you for several days.
Oh, the worst.
I know she doesn't listen. I know she doesn't listen.
She doesn't.
But if Shida or a friend of Shida does, have her maybe listen to this episode or tell her that these are signs of someone who will be controlling and abusive in your relationship. Like, she needs to get out of this relationship.
And yes, abusive relationships are all over the place. You can be physically abusive.
Emotionally, verbally.
Verbally, but just, this is emotional abuse.
Yes.
At its worst.
It's not good.
They talk about the prenup a little bit.
Prenup.
And she said, I was prepared to leave without the clauses. And Sean,
this was a good question.
Goes into this, and we've talked about this before.
They talk about the prenup because I think what you're going to say is, Shida says, I put in there, we need to have
two clauses.
You need to help with my business, and we need to
try to
have kids by the time I'm 40. So anyway, go ahead.
So there's nothing, and Sean brings up, but what happens if you don't? In contracts, there are things that happen, and they both kind of say
there's
like this.
Well, no, she said there's a, in contracts or in prenups, there's a cause and effect, so to speak. If this doesn't happen, if this does happen, nothing. But if it doesn't, then what is the consequence for that?
Like, you leave or something like this.
And this is, as someone who worked in a law office, this is always in it. It's not just this kind of arbitrary, we don't know what's going
to
happen.
And y'all, that's when at this moment, kudos to Sean, the whole Pernerp just unraveled.
Because Shida goes,
we're going to try whatever is humanly possible, but it's all up to God. It's all, of course.
Y'all,
everyone knows that.
Shawn Robinson, we follow her Instagram. She is a very godly woman. She talks about Jesus a lot. She's also a good business person to ask this question.
And I've just got to say, and strangely, when we didn't spend too much time on that, but it was an amazing point to bring up.
Oh.
That there's no repercussions if they don't have a baby. There's no repercussions. He's going to help you start your place, yes, but what if he doesn't? There's no repercussions.
Nothing will happen to you.
This idea of putting in a clause, you guys.
Because he could divorce her. Because I would say if we don't try to have a baby by 40, we're not trying to have a baby by 40. If we get divorced, you owe me $20,000.
Exactly.
If you don't help me start my business... And you don't give me that money by such and such
$50,000.
you owe me $50,000.
And that wasn't there. And both
this
of
is
them-
a f- if Shida did go an attorney like she said she did, this is a failure of her attorney.
I agree. And
failure.
And both of them were kind of like just staring like this. And there, and then like, well, Bilal's ex-wife had a lot to say. Let's bring out Shahida.
She looked fucking great, I have to say.
She did.
Her makeup looked great. Her dress was cute.
I don't love the combination of her glasses with her look. I think she needed darker frames that say something. Her frames don't say enough.
Okay, I get that.
Yeah.
Oh, her face said enough. So Shahida says, I came here because, before she even goes on, she says to the camera, I came here because there's a breakdown. When the truth is revealed, Shahida will owe me an apology, as well as Bilal. And I just wrote, this bitch.
Now, this is when we get into, she says, after 10 years of marriage, one of us fell
Sean
out of
said,
love.
Sean said, one of you fell out of love.
And,
or that's what, she said, what happened?
Now, the thing about it is, I understand they're going this way to make a point, but like you said earlier, who fucking cares?
She could have said in one sentence, so Shahida, you were married to Bilal for 10 years. Did you feel like you got lectures from him?
Yes.
And she could have said yes. Instead of this, what happened in your marriage? And then she goes into this, well, I wanted a best friend, and I felt like I was getting more of a father figure.
Or in a mom, yeah.
And Sean said, so lectures. Yes, but I just went, I mean, I guess she agreed to it, but it felt gross that we're going into her. And I'm watching this and going, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at her Instagram and shit like that. Is she in on this fame
Probably.
Thing too?
Yep.
Is so, literally Bilal and his whole family, including his ex, in on this thing just for them to... quote, grow their fucking empire at the end that Shida can be collateral damage.
I think it's all appearances for them.
Oh,
and
for sure.
They circle the wagons like nobody else.
They really do.
And this is
And
like,
I come from the Mars. We circle the wagons.
This looks they're treating themselves like they're the fucking Kennedys and no one can really say anything about them.
And it's true though. Aunt Peggy actually had a wagon for a while. If somebody got pissed, she just drive it around. It was motorized because she didn't want a horse. Had a little OU on the back of it because of the OU wagon.
We need to move on.
Okay.
So
size of a golf cart.
He had problems with the house. He had Shahida is talking about this, and she asked for the divorce. And Sean says to Shahida, neat freak, controlling, lecture. Do you see a pattern? And then says, you haven't looked at Shahida since she's come on the show. Very much shades of Paige and Lindsay from the Summer House.
Yes,
reunion.
Yes, yes, yes.
And she said, why? Silence. And then later on, I still don't like how she came at me in my own home. And Shahida says, well, when I came to her home, she thought I was disrespectful. But the thing is, she has a marriage with no assets.
Shahida, I just want to say this is important. Shahida said, she came at me in my home. She said, and it still hurts.
Yeah.
So Shahida actually talked about her
emotions
and how she said, I was hoping to have a sisterhood and a friendly relationship with her. And then that's when you started talking about Shahida. That's when Shahida started talking.
And that's when Shahida said she thought it was disrespectful.
Oh, well, yeah.
Marriage, that, you know, she was getting into a marriage with no assets. And Shahida went, that's some shade, Shahida. And
well,
then,
she didn't say it that. She said it calmer because Shahida says, once you show me who you are, you withdraw.
And then at one point, this was such a weird moment. Bilal was just sitting there, and Sean went, hi, Bilal. Because, y'all, Bilal's energy was so dark that at that point, Sean had to pretend to be someone she wasn't to... It was such a weird scene.
It was a weird scene. It was, well, because also before that, Jabri, of course, gets into like, y'all are really hurt and tries to assess the situation and saying all this shit. And, you know, you kind of glossed over it. And I think it's important to bring up with Shahida what makes her so terrible is that.
You had no assets.
Well, she said not only that you had no assets, but Shahida said, you know, I withdrew from you. And Shahida says, well, what I'm supposed to say, we need to talk about the prenup. It's a need. She's like, she's saying my tone was of disrespect. She said, that's what she said. You have no assets. And she said, you lived with your parents. And that's where
Shida's
kind of silent. So I just want to bring up that she is shaming Shida. Yep. And that's where Shida said, that's shame because you don't know my life.
And she said, I had a yoga practice. I had this. So she was
basically, I don't think they're wrong, though. I do think Shida probably builds up her life because of that immaturity way more than it actually was. But still.
It's still hurtful.
Yeah. Well, as Jabri said, it's just hurt. Y'all just got hurt. This is all just about hurt. You know, it's kind of like, you know, again, y'all, a failure on our part, I was going to talk about it, but he was so shitty that we realized we didn't do a reenactment of his wedding vows for their fucking music video that was just fucking spoken word, whatever. Not even good spoken word. Bullshit.
It doesn't deserve us.
But now he's been such shit. We just forgot it for a reason.
It doesn't deserve
because
us.
Because he's kind of just, we're getting that.
It's too on the nose.
The Jabri who did the vows, the slam poet Jabri, is who we're getting in this whole fucking tell-all.
Yeah, it's useless to comment because it's already an act. It's hard for me. It's hard for me to critique a Meryl Streep performance when it's already a performance.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's true. Sean then said, this is where I'm not kidding. I full on yelled at my TV and said, fuck you. Whenever Sean asked Shahida, what was your reaction to Shida's reaction to the house? And Shahida said, I was saddened for Bilal, for him. And y'all, this is all about money.
Oh, yeah.
It's that he's giving her money. She knows she has to fucking wipe his ass and tell him his dick is so big, so that way she can get a fucking dime from him besides just the legal alimony.
I still don't think he has any money.
I don't think so either.
And now, you skipped over it, but I want to talk about
what
Bilal said. We live in a world.
Oh, thank you.
We live in an oppressive word environment. And words can really hurt. I'm like, that is some shit coming from you.
Did you see them look at Patrick's reaction?
Yes.
And he kind of rolled his eyes.
It's like words can hurt.
Words can give you life or cause you destruction. You spot it, you got it, bitch. You're the one that you literally are destroying her with your words.
I wanted the devil to just come up with brimstone and go, hey, and just grab him and take him down and go, that's some shit. Come with me. You went double down to Georgia.
Yeah, I did. Oh. So she said I was saddened for him. And then Shahida goes on to say, I lived in that house for 2 years. For her to show that side of herself, I was taken aback. And I wrote, was there a kitchen sink when you lived in there? Because there wasn't.
Or was there a plant just
there?
There
was just greenery in a fucking hole. And I bet you there weren't holes on the ceiling. Fuck you, you fucking sanctimonious bitch. Ugh.
I agree. And this was all in an attempt to make Shida look bad.
All an attempt.
Oof.
It's going to be
awful.
Really, really, really hard to watch that family on Happily Ever After. It's our job, so I will do it. And my only hope from their segments is that people that watch this show can see their own controlling marriage of their own spouse and know this is some bullshit.
Agreed.
And I've got to call my best friend, and I got to get out of this and get support.
Amen.
That's my only hope in this.
Let's hope. Should we move on to Eve and Mohammed?
Yes. There's a little bit of Tim and Kenny, but it's a hat on a hat for us just to talk about Tim and Kenny's reaction. But anyway.
We're in a better place, you guys. That's bullshit. I don't know if you noticed this. He barely touched her the whole time.
But is that a cultural thing, though?
I don't know
if he would do that.
That's true.
Yeah, I thought that, but then I thought when they started talking about cultural stuff.
But I just get a vibe that they're not even together anymore. They're, you know, we would not have this completely It's all been in the Twitter sphere and on Instagram,
the twat
and everything
sphere.
Like that. Yeah, and but there's been women DMing Muhammad and like all kinds of things, like women who tried to bait him and stuff like that. And obviously he took the bait,
and but, he's dumb, so he was baited.
Yeah. So anyway, and Kara really did like us. Kara's like, from the beginning, you guys were the ones I was like, is this going to work out? We said the same thing.
We did say the same thing. And Mom said, I realize she is grown woman.
Now, this is the other thing. Jabri will do anything he can. He's like, girl.
Well, let's preface from, like, this, because Sean said, so you don't care about her clothes. And right. That's where Kara says, I don't think it's any man's place to comment on
yes,
what a woman
you.
Wears.
And that's when he's like, have you been to Egypt, woman?
Well, he honestly didn't say, not to bring up, not to take, I thought Jabri actually, Jabri kind of was saying what we've been saying about Eve.
Yeah.
He said, because, but he was, Jabri's.
But he was, but I'm sorry.
He's traveling.
I disagree with you in the way he did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, you ever been to Egypt?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true.
It's again, all about, why are you saying woman about something you know nothing about?
Yes. He could have started saying a cultural difference because, but instead, this is what Jabri does. He shames the woman because, and then he immediately, have you been to Egypt? And then he turns to Muhammad. He's like, I give you a lot of respect.
And
then he
says something
in Arabic just to fucking show off, to say yep. that he's fucking bilingual. Because, again, he's not a stupid
guy. He's not bilingual. He knows 5 phrases in Arabic.
Maybe he worked on that. And so he said, well, I think doesn't he speak Serbian? I think he's fluent.
He does speak Serbian.
Yeah.
I should say bilingual English and Serbian probably.
Okay. And Jabri said,
he doesn't know Arabic. I'm sorry. That's okay. Clarification.
And Jabri is like, I understand your perspective. And so it's this idea of, I think that's what's gross, even grosser, is that Jabri can't just say, I understand Muhammad's perspective. He's got to shame someone before he does
and
it.
And tell someone else they're wrong and the other person is right.
And not that they're wrong. They're wrong and they're stupid.
Yeah.
That's the way he comes off.
The two targets he had were Kara and Ari. This,
yeah,
pretty much.
I was really surprised, and we're going to see more of them next episode. I was surprised he's, and I think in part two, he will come for Emily.
Yeah.
It is interesting, though. I have to say, so far in this tell-all, we were wrong. The people that we thought that were going to come for other people, we thought Emily was going to be all in this shit.
Yeah, I thought
she
was too.
Barely said, like you said, barely said a word.
The and Bilal hasn't come for anybody else.
No.
Ari has been, we knew Ari would come for people occasionally, mm-hmm. but she's been relevant. Kara has been at, we did say that. We thought Kara
yeah.
would be, but it's been Jabroni most.
We didn't
of the time.
Talk about Jabri, but that's just because we didn't want to talk about him in the tell-all.
Because I can't stand him.
I will say we did forgot this. I think maybe this is in part one when or earlier when Miona she had a great line when she said to Bilal, she's like, "You do sound like Professor." that made me laugh. But so now Eve brings up a now. See, this is like. E brings up a point, but he can post a picture half naked, and I can't. That's not fair. Jabri says what we've been trying to say, but that's how it is in his country.
Yeah.
So he's bringing up this just misunderstanding.
I think, and then Ari's like, but he said he was in this country now, and he's like, he's adapting.
He says, and I don't agree that when people say, well, you're in America now, land of the fucking free. To quote Angela, yes, they are in America, but that just doesn't mean as soon as somebody gets to fucking Ellis Island, they abandon their culture.
America is a melting pot or a salad bowl or it's a mixture of all cultures. So it's not, you don't have to assimilate. That's garbage, by the way. If you hear that from anybody saying everyone should assimilate when they come right to America, that's garbage.
Because what
and that's
they're
some
saying,
American jingoistic shit.
Agreed. Because it's the same idea of like I have a lot of Latinx friends that are our age in their mid-40s, and they don't know any Spanish or whatever their home, their family, even though their parents were fluent in it, because when they
were not allowed to speak Spanish at home.
Don't speak Spanish at home. We're Americans. We speak English. That's bullshit. And so I do think that's tied to this idea of Ari saying that. I'm like, no, that's not right.
I wonder, though, if that was in an attempt to be American or that was something they absorbed. Because I don't think that was America telling them we don't speak Spanish here.
No, yeah.
But no, I just want to – I don't know if that
– I don't know what was going on propaganda-wise.
But nowadays you hear – We don't want Spanish to become like, even the governor of Alabama said, I will not let Spanish become the language children speak in schools.
Well, we'll see who you get to fill all those jobs that you don't want to pay a decent wage for, and see who works for
she'll
him.
Die soon.
Yeah, fuck off, fuck off. Y'all, if you're a white person and you're upset that you're not going to be in the minority or majority anymore, get over it.
Or welcome it as...
I'm not even over. I'm happy. It's fine. Let's
say we had a good run. And
fine.
Enjoy it for what it is.
Pressure's off me.
Exactly.
Fine.
It's hard for me to say that because I've never felt...
I've never felt that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've always felt like a member of a minority, and because I've never felt accepted by the majority. Well, so...
Oh, because you're gay as hell?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm just not like other people. I'm
Yo,
weird.
When your young son practices Barbara Streisand's Evergreen for 10 hours on his little keyboard as an 8-year-old, he's not like everybody.
Not 10 hours. A couple hours.
He's not like everyone else.
I'm not like the other boys. That's Poodle. That's the biography of Poodle, Volume 3. Not like other boys.
Not like other boys.
Mm-hmm.
So then they bring up the thing of when Eve says, well, he says go back to Egypt, and they bring up Sean said, well, let's talk about that. How did you feel about when he found another sponsor? We find out Mohammed said that she didn't even have her taxes done.
Now I've got to say, he called out the hypocrisy of the show right there.
Y'all, that is like, she's got to have her fucking taxes done to have, because they have to show proof of income for her to support. Like that.
Supposedly, she doesn't even own her house that she's in right now.
Okay.
And she said she owned it, and her financials aren't in the best places. But that's what I've just seen on the interwebs. But he calls out the show. He's like, I'm not fucking with this. She had not paid her taxes, and she had not filed paperwork. So I was just saying I was going to find someone else who did.
It
makes pragmatic
sense. It's pragmatic. It's very, it's cold and cruel. It is to say that, but it's not emotional at all.
No.
I'm not defending that he said it.
Me
it's
either.
It's a shitty thing to say.
No, he will forever go down in history as one of the most transactional people.
For sure.
Ever.
For sure.
And for the voice that like this.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Girlfriend, no, you didn't.
Well, so they finally talk about Sean. I will say Sean asked some better questions this Tella, because she said to Eve, she said, well, do you feel like you led him on, Eve?
Yeah.
As far as, because you basically said you didn't do your homework in this. And Eve said, you know, I did stuff without him even asking me, and I changed things.
Right.
And she said, like, I don't have alcohol in my house. So I went, oh, that's why you have to go have a wine night with the girls 2 weeks after he gets there.
I think that was, I wonder how much of what he said. I don't think they talked in solid things at all. And I think she did a lot of that for him, and she expected him to say, I am so glad you have already done these things for me. I appreciate you even more.
That's you can not, wear a bikini.
That's not him, y'all. He's never going to say that.
He's not going to say that. And I also do think he probably has come from a culture where I shouldn't have to tell a woman that. It's expected for her to know and find out. So
now, she did not do a Google of Islam. It is obvious.
I think Shida called her out for that.
She's like, you married an Egyptian man. What'd you expect? You should have known that. She's like,
a blind man with spectacles could see this could happen.
That was one of the things we said earlier on. Yeah.
Like, we all get it.
And he, the thing about it is, I'm not defending him, you guys, but he's saying things like, if she wants to convert, it needs to be her decision.
I still go back to kind of our first thing, and sadly, we're going to get this more this next week when Tatiana, their friend, comes on, because she's coming on. So it's Tatiana, there's David comes on with Bilal.
Oh, yes!
But
David comes on with Jabri.
Jabri, I'm sorry, it was Jabri. But I thought we would get Emily's parents or sister. We didn't see them on.
We have to get them.
I know. I'm going to be upset if they don't. I feel like Emily and Kobe are going to get.
That's a shame.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to. But so, anyway, I think, though, that next week, I forgot what I was talking about. Shida says that Mohammed's talking about pictures being posted of her that bothered his family. And Eve says, but when we were over there, he said, my religion doesn't judge people. And so that was for her to just be like, okay, I'm good then. Like,
yeah. It's interesting for her to say, my religion doesn't judge people. And he could also say, because her religion is very it's just a miasma of stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what it is. And I guarantee you there are people who practice her religion that does judge people. Your religion is not a monolith.
No.
Nor is Islam. And I think there is nuance about this. Yes, a religion that should make women feel less than is not good.
No.
Now, at the same time, we can be nuanced about these discussions.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I think, or you can be Miona and just level it and say, how weak is your relationship if a bikini will destroy it?
It's a great line.
And we all just go, oh, fuck.
It's a great line.
And he's just standing there blinking.
Yeah.
And then you hear, oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Now, should we move on to Chris and Guillermo?
Yes.
Sorry, Karen
and Guillermo.
Just a little bit. We meet the Orthodox John Lennon, comes in for a little bit, and Blind Man of Alabama. We dated for 2 years, and it was serious. He was like, it was wild, though, dude. It's wild.
Is it Jabri who says he's looking like ZZ Top?
Yeah.
That made me
laugh. ZZ Top and also Ozzy Osbourne.
That did make me laugh.
He does have Ozzy Osbourne glasses.
That's the thing. Is Jabri says, I wish Jabri just got his ego checked, because he would be funny and likable if he wasn't such a narcissist and spoiled child.
Anyway, she basically says,
what's up, Guillermo? And Guillermo doesn't even talk to him.
No.
Or acknowledge him.
And this is the thing. He says, Kara finally says, okay, I need to tell my side of the story here. I left college. I left all of this. And Guillermo's like, you can understand. Since the show has aired, they've definitely talked about this. Because Guillermo says, listen, I've cheated before too. And so we've talked about it. And
Kara said, we were, literally, y'all, it's Patrick is laughing at this guy. Kara says, we were just horny teenagers. Like, she's...
Right. Then Jabri says, all this, like, cheating, like, this one, like, I call my exes to apologize because I love women. I respect and value women. And I want to tell them I was wrong. And she said I was cheating and calling my exes.
Funny thing, y'all.
How performative.
Shout out to one of our sissies. Because they actually sent us a recording of one of the calls of Jabri calling one of his exes.
Great.
I just want to play it right now. Hello? Hello?
Hey, what's up? What's up?
Hello? Hello? Who's this?
Melodica?
Yes, Melodica. Hello.
It's your boy Jabroni.
Who?
Jabroni. Jabri. You knew me as
Jabri?
Mark.
Mark?
Yeah, you know.
Oh, what?
I'm at
work right now. What
are you still at Annie Ann's?
No, that was 10 years ago. I got a I got a real job that.
Oh, what is it?
I work in a dental office. I'm a hygienist now. Remember when you said,
oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
And you call me a loser. And you said, I'm a punk because I'm like.
No, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk any about
that. Why are you calling Mark?
I just want to say, I'm sorry. And I saw on Instagram, you look. Girl, you're looking good. And.
Yeah, I don't care.
I just want to say, thank you so much for the time we had together.
No, I don't. What's that music in the background?
Oh, that's my boy. Me and David are making some sick beats with Space Cash.
I think it's clear why we broke up.
You know, I value you. I value you as a woman.
Yeah,
you are a spirit of Aphrodite.
Yeah,
I love you.
Yeah, Jabri, you cried during sex. I gotta go. Bye.
Wait. That was that's
that was the call.
Yeah.
That was the call.
That's how they all went.
That's how they all went.
Y'all, they made him feel better. Those were all apologies for him.
And he probably made most
makes me sick, actually.
Not one of Jabri's exes got off the phone and said, Rhonda, I feel so much better. You know who just called me? Remember that loser, Jabri, who did nothing with his life? He just apologized for 7 years ago for me wasting 3 months on him.
No one. These were all for him. Yuck.
Yuck.
So they're talking about Kobe mentions, Emily mentions Kobe took his ex out on a date. And can you imagine how awful that made me feel?
When I was at home with his child. I mean, that is weird.
We'll hear a little more about that.
Yeah, that's weird. But it was weird, though, in this tell-all. We're finding out about all this shit that we never saw in the season.
Mm-hmm. Lot of stuff.
Chris and Kara, yes. Chris was brought on. Because, again, y'all, Kara and Guillermo don't have problems.
No, they're
and
fine.
They found out they're about fine. Chris, and they went... Because when these people get on the show, lightning they search bottle. Their Instagram and go, who's this guy? That's my ex. They contacted. I guarantee you how that's happened. Otherwise, they would have nothing to talk about.
Nothing.
Because they don't have problems. But with all these other couples, why are we going into... There's enough to talk about with Emily and Kobe than to bring up about an ex from years ago.
It's weird. Should we...
Jabri said a great line. Look. You got to leave Ozzy Osbourne in the past because you're with James Bond.
And I think there was one little line where Chris is like, well, he wasn't man enough for you. And Kara's like, touches her stomach. Well, obviously he was man enough for me.
Yeah. And Guillermo says, you know, you shut the fuck up because, he didn't say that. I did.
I know who I am.
But Guillermo said, I love myself a lot.
Yeah.
Which... Good for him. Kara does say, I'm sorry that I didn't break it off 13 years ago.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
She's 30 years old having to talk to her high school
boyfriend.
No,
it's stupid. Stupid. Is it time to move on to Boston John?
Yeah, as Kenny said, I just want to say, Kenny said, I think that boyfriend needs to move the fuck on. And I enjoyed it.
So Boston John, he's like, everybody's all dressed fancy. It's nice to meet you. Everyone's looking sharp.
Sean says, how do you feel about being an
Sorry,
uncle?
Nice to meet yous.
He just says, I literally wrote, nice to meet yous.
And he's like, oh my God, it's the best thing in the world. You know.
You didn't tell anybody, did you, John?
I may have told one friend when I was drunk. And she wrote, congrats on Instagram.
And then this is shitty. Then we have
It's shitty.
It's shitty, but at the same time, Thais didn't tell her husband she was pregnant, but it's still
and
shitty.
And I've just got to say.
She says she got an Instagram message saying congrats, and she didn't know what. That's
is
terrible.
John a good person? I don't know. He makes amazing television.
I'm actually going to say, I think John is probably someone with a good, tries to have a good heart. But just can't help showing his ass. Like he says, I'm combative. So it makes him not a good person because I think he will slash up anyone in his way that hurts him.
Would you watch a show with him?
All day.
Me too.
All day, every day. He's a fucking Jersey housewife. That's what this felt like. They wanted this reunion to be a housewives reunion instead of a 90-day fiancé
tell-all. Good point. So
anyway, they're talking about, he's like, I don't remember. You know, I don't remember if I told him that. And
well, Jabri comes out and says, John, are you drunk right now?
And this is strange. It's almost like, why is Jabri going at John? I can only imagine that Jabri says, now this is someone who's volatile. This is someone I can pick a fight with.
That I can pick a fight with him. And also, out of everybody in that room, John was probably one of the most memed, most popular. So who has the power in the room?
Oh, yeah. I gotcha.
John has the power in this room.
And he's drawn to it like a moth to a
Jabri's
flame.
He's like, I got to take this guy down.
Clout.
So I'm the biggest guy in the
room. Like Tim said, you gotta take him down in prison.
Exactly.
And he's like, you drunk now? He's like, dude, I had 6 beers last night. And he's like, your sparkles are blinding me. And then, y'all, the cast fell out. And Jabri knew he had lost.
He knew, because John said, I don't know. He drops the F-bomb and says, I don't know if I can fucking focus right now. And I love that Discovery Plus did not edit it out.
No. Now, at this point, John starts lobbing burns after burn,
burn after burn.
And at one point, he's like...
Because they watch some clips, and then she says, and Sean says, you were definitely trash talking Thais. And John says, I got to be honest with you. Say it literally just like that. He says, I think she's good for him and that they are good for one another. Yeah. But I'm a combative person.
He's 100% whipped.
Yeah, that's what he says. Yeah, you're whipped.
And then Jabri says, this is so interesting how he's trying to predict people's futures. He's like, you won't have a happy ending, blah, blah, blah. He's like, look at you fucking Woody over there trying to pop along Cassidy.
With your sparkles. I'm glad you didn't bring your cowboy hat.
Yeah.
Like he's Woody. Just calling out the ridiculousness that is Jabri.
And I'm loving
it. And Jabri is just responding with, I would call a metaphorical, you butthead.
Yeah.
Or if we said.
Come on, sparkles.
Are you dummy?
Yeah.
Like, so it's, and then Jabri tries to says, oh, well, no, then John says, kind of what we always want to know. John says, are you still living at home? How's your family? You still living at home?
Still living on the farm? You on the farm? You on the farm with your family?
And Jabri says, well, you're living at home, drinking your 6-packs and playing video games. So now it becomes, John is making fun of Jabri being a loser. I would say Jabri is making fun of John's depression.
Yeah.
And probably alcoholism.
And his addiction.
Not that makes it, but it does feel gross that's what Jabri has to go in.
Punching down.
You're right, though. It was glorious to see John just deflate him in one
burn
sentence.
Burn after burn after burn.
Because now everyone's going to call Jabri fucking Sparkles. It was chef's kiss.
John, it's just so good.
This guy's going to be a star. He's going to flame out quickly.
He will.
He's going to get too drunk. He'll get in a fight with somebody at a bar. Like, something's going to happen. He's going to say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, show his ass, and show that he's probably like most of these people on this tell-all who can just kind of show gross sides of themselves.
Agreed. That's the show. That's the first half.
That's part one.
Part one.
But our part two of this tell-all, I'm confused. Not a good fiance. We're going to talk about it at the end, but so far, who do you think is the loser and the winner of this tell-all?
Loser is definitely Gibberish, because he's so desperate and dehydrated for attention.
I would say it was Patrick if Patrick didn't go for Bilal so well.
Yeah.
That made Patrick look good, and that John is going to be there for Patrick. I say Gibberish.
But John...
You know what? I don't even say Gibberish. Miona was fine.
Yeah.
But, it's Jabri.
But Patrick is close.
Patrick is close, yeah.
I would also say that Kara was probably the winner.
For me, I feel like Kara's the winner of the tell-all as well.
She addressed everything that was hit to her.
I agree.
Addressed everything and proved her point well, came for people who needed to be.
Yeah. I would almost say Kara and even Guillermo.
Yes.
They at the both, I mean... There really wasn't much with Kobe and Emily, but with Karen Guillermo, really came off as like a unified front.
Yeah, they did.
And that they're doing well, whereas other couples like Benny didn't say hardly anything.
Nothing. Not one word.
Emily didn't say a lot, oddly enough. So.
We'll see.
There's going to be more drama. Season two, it looks like, or part two looks like it's even more dramatic.
Of course it will be.
And then we're on to Happily Ever After. At least we're getting to Single Life, y'all. We talked about that on season. If you haven't listened to the couples from the Single Life, season three dropped. It's going to be good. That's going to be on the free feed as well. Y'all, go to Reality Gaze Podcast. Be sure to go to our Instagram and our Facebook, whether it's in the Sissy Squad or it's on our free Facebook feed. You can follow us at Reality Gaze.
Free
at Facebook
feed.
at 10 a.m. Pacific time, we're going to be putting that
Wednesday.
We're going to be we're either, if you're on the Patreon Supercast, that's when we're going to start the pre-sale. If you are just a general and not a member, which is great too, that's when we're going to put what cities we're going to be going to.
Yes.
And the dates coming the end of September and in fall for the Double It Tour.
Double It.
Double It. We call these people Lonely Hearts Foods because aren't we all just Lonely Hearts looking for love in all the wrong places?
Yes. And if you are just on the internet somewhere or just pissed off in general, and you're just in a mood, remember, if you need to respond to someone, all you have to do is say, come on, Sparkles.
Come on, Sparkles.
Sparkles.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.